If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 16, and we'll read that in just a few minutes. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 16. I'm one of those kids that grew up in the church. I've been surrounded with church. I've been surrounded with going to church. I never missed a service unless I was sick, and it must have been bad. I never missed. We were there Sunday morning for Bible class, Sunday morning for worship. We were there Sunday night. We were there Wednesday night. We were there for singings, and we were there for gospel meetings. I just didn't miss. That just wasn't acceptable. That's just not how I was raised. I became a Christian at a young age. I was only 10 years old. And not long after that, I was leading prayers, waiting on the table, and giving the Wednesday night invitation. But growing up in that environment, I heard a phrase that many preachers and many teachers used quite often. They would look at me and my friends, and as most of the young people are sitting over here, when I talk to the young people, I'm going to stand over here. So they would look at me and the young people, and they would say, "This group of people, they are the church of tomorrow." But I must tell you, that statement bothered me. And it still bothers me to this day. Because I thought, if I'm the church of tomorrow, why am I doing so much now? Why am I even here? Or don't they see how much I'm doing now? Can't they see that I'm part of the church of right now? But young people, let me tell you this. The reality is, you are not the church of tomorrow. Because you are the church of right now. You are the church of right now. And I think sometimes we've done a poor job of communicating that to our young people. I'm afraid we've treated our young people like the bullpen catcher in baseball. The bullpen catcher in baseball, his job is to warm up the pitchers in the bullpen. And that's about it. How many times do you hear a kid go to a baseball game and go, "Hey, Dad, I just got the bullpen catcher, just gave me his autograph." You never hear that. Because nobody wants the bullpen catcher's autograph. He comes to the park every day. He travels with the team. He has a locker in the locker room. He even has a uniform. But he's not on the team. People think he is. The fans see him in the bullpen and think he must be on the team. But he's not. And I think sometimes we treat young people that same way. And that is a great disservice to the church. Because young people are a fantastic resource. Young people are a fantastic resource. School is just now starting. And think of the souls they come in contact with every day. They come in contact with so many people every day. And they have so many more chances at this time in their life to spread the gospel than we do sometimes. I was trying to figure out a time to say this in my lesson, but I might as well just say it now. You know, back when I was in high school, back in those days, I was around tons of people all the time, but you know, I'm getting a little old now. But they come in contact with so many souls that need teaching. And if they don't feel a part of the church of right now, why should they do anything? Why should they be concerned with growing the church if they don't feel like they're a part of the church? Young people have enthusiasm. Young people have energy. Young people have passion. If you were here for our vacation Bible school, I was encouraged by seeing how just these kids were so excited about coming to Bible class. And because of that excitement, the teachers got excited. And then the older kids got excited, and the adults got excited, and then the older adults got excited. That's because these young people have such great enthusiasm. They have so much passion and so much energy. And those are three qualities that kind of tend to fade away as a person gets older. Those qualities kind of go away. The excitement you get from going to Bible class kind of fades away. The excitement you get from going to worship, to stepping into those doors, it kind of fades away. One thing that I love about this church, and I've talked to so many of the kids here, and they all say the same thing. They are so excited to come to church. They are so excited. And I'll put my hand up there with them. I'm just as excited as they are. From the kindergarten class all the way up through the college class, the young people are excited to be here and excited to worship. They have that enthusiasm and that energy and that passion. I'm going to talk to young people for just a moment. You are a Christian, or you should be. And you're just like, you're a Christian. If you're a Christian, you're like everyone else here. Your faith is the same as everyone else. There aren't varying levels of the Lord's body. Every member and every joint of the Lord's body is equally important. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 16. From whom the whole body joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped. When each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. It says the whole body, the whole group of God's people makes the body work. So first, before we get into the meat of the lesson tonight, I want to talk with you about some of the consequences of this church of tomorrow concept. This church of tomorrow concept. The first one is, with this mindset, with this church of tomorrow mindset, young people are viewed as having a lesser faith. They're viewed as having a lesser faith. We understand that the backbone of what we do as Christians is faith. It is a requirement for being a child of God. We know it is directly produced by the Word of God. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. We all know how important faith is. Paul even goes to say that we are saved through the faith. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. And then the Hebrew writer in chapter 11 makes a list of Bible heroes whose actions were outlined by their faith. Faith is also one of the unifying characteristics of God's people. But when young people are treated as the church of tomorrow, what we are doing is we're reducing the value of their faith. We're saying it's not on the same fiber of faith as some of the adults. We may not intend to say that, but trust me, when that is said, that's what's heard. That's what we hear. Now, are young people as spiritually mature as older Christians? Well, not normally. But normally, a young person does not have the knowledge or wisdom that older Christians have. And young people need to remember that. You don't want to have this persona that you have more wisdom or more knowledge. But what we all must remember, and not just young people, I'm talking about young people, middle-aged people, and old people, and you pick the category you want to be in. But what we all must remember is that all Christians, young or old, black or white, rich or poor, have the same faith. We have the same faith. If you are a Christian, your faith is based on the same word. If you are a Christian, your faith is rooted in the belief in the same God and the same Savior. If you are a Christian, your faith is attacked by the same enemy. Knowing these things, a young person's faith, it's not a lesser faith. It's not a faith lower than some others. It's an identical faith. The Church of Tomorrow mindset also separates young people into their own little group. The goal for us is to be one body, one family, one church. And this one body concept is repeated over and over again in the New Testament. I'm going to read a couple passages pretty quickly, so just listen to these passages and what it says about the one body. Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through 5. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 12 through 13. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 4. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the hope, to the one hope that belongs to your call. And last, Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. How can we achieve this goal as being unified into one body? if we are constantly dividing ourselves in an us and them mentality. And sadly, that's how this generation gap is viewed between young people and older people. But when you have that mindset, when you have that us and them mindset, unity is impossible. It can't happen. You can't have one body if you have that mindset. For us to be unified, we must only view the congregation as us. Everybody. Every single Christian as us, as one body. There is no them. Because if we set aside any group as them, or as the church of tomorrow, we are creating a division within our body. And we as young people can be the guilty party in that area. Many times we get so comfortable with our little group of friends that we forget sometimes that we're a family. And I'll be the first to admit that sometimes I'm guilty of that same thing. After amen is said sometimes, after the closing prayer, young people can be the worst about just staying in the little groups talking to one another. And I'm guilty of that thing. That's something I need to work on. But we have to remember, we have a responsibility to seek out opportunities to spend time with other and maybe even older Christians. This Church of Tomorrow mindset also creates an environment where young people are neglected and ignored. I recently heard a story from a friend of mine. He told me of a situation growing up where adults in an adult Bible class were discussing a particular spiritual matter. And let me tell you, for a young person to make a comment in an adult Bible class, that takes some courage. That takes being brave, because I haven't been in too many adult Bible classes, but I've sat in a couple of them, and, you know, I haven't made a comment because it's just like, whoa, you're kind of stepping out into unknown territory there. That's a little scary. But my friend, he decided to take that step. He was gonna say a comment. He was gonna try to add something to this conversation. So he thought about something in his mind, and he thought about something just right and so profound as a teenager could get. And he said it. And he said it in the way that he had wanted to say it. But the response that he got was much less than he expected. In fact, the impression he got was, It was like the older adults were saying, "You don't matter. Why did you just add that comment? You're too young. Go away. Go to one of the younger classes." Is that the impression we want to give our young people? He felt as if his opinions and his knowledge and his belief and his thoughts, like it just wasn't valuable, like it just wasn't important enough. Because this Church of Tomorrow mindset, it creates a lower class of Christian. It gives the impression that young people, oh, I just don't matter. What can they do? And sometimes it creates an attitude in older members that doesn't necessarily despise the young people, but certainly discredits their abilities and what they have to offer. And because of that, it can cause the other members to overlook the needs of the young people. And if we view any group as not being a part of the church of right now, then we don't take their problems, and we don't take their challenges, and we don't take their struggles seriously. Because let me tell you, young people face a lot of temptations every day. And now that school is starting back up, it's going to get even harder. You know, if you think of Satan, think of Satan's battlefield, that's school. Walking in there with a bunch of people who you don't know where they've come from. They don't care about the words they say. They don't care about the things they see. They don't care about the activities they involve themselves in. And these young people are going in there trying to defend their faith. But we look at them and we see sometimes that they get involved in these activities in school and with their friends that they shouldn't be involved in. And sometimes we can have this attitude of, oh, well, they're young. They'll grow out of it. It's just a fad. They may grow out of it, but they may grow into something other than a child of God. So let's make sure that young people aren't taking on that mindset. And some of the young kids sitting here may be thinking, well, obviously this was a lesson about older people treating young people nicely. That's not it. Let me ask you a question. Those of you in your 20s, how do you view those high school kids? Do you view them as just the church of tomorrow? And high schoolers, how do you view those middle school kids? How do you view them? When they participate in the assemblies, what do you think about? How do you look at them? Do you treat them as the church of today, or do you treat them as the church of tomorrow? If you aren't careful, some of us could already be developing this mindset. We must have the mindset that those below us in age are equal with us in the church. We must have that mindset. So what can we do about it? What can we do about this church of tomorrow problem? How do we solve it? And more specifically, what can the young people do about it? The first thing, to solve this church of tomorrow problem, you must be obedient to the gospel. That's the very first thing. If you don't take that step, nothing else matters. Churches are filled with young people who are great kids. They are morally pure. They come from great families. But for one reason or another, they just haven't obeyed the gospel. They haven't decided to commit their life to Christ. They haven't decided to been baptized for one reason. And they're the only ones who know what that reason is. They haven't been baptized to wash away their sins. And they haven't been sanctified and justified through the blood of Christ. And there may be some of you like that here with us today. And I'm afraid that something they are okay spiritually, because they're part of a family who are Christians. So they're just okay. They're just all right. In fact, if you are one of those young people, you probably feel like you're part of the church already because of your family. Because your family's Christians, they might be involved. They might be active in the worship. But the fact is, if you've not obeyed the gospel, if you haven't been baptized, if you aren't faithful, then you are not a part of God's family and you are not a part of His church. That's just the way it is. So if you want to not be looked at as the church of tomorrow, if you want to be looked at like you're a part of the church of right now, then you've got to be obedient to the gospel. That applies to young and older people. Secondly, you must submit yourself to the leadership of this church. We've just appointed elders, and it's such a fun time, and it's such an energetic time, and we're all so excited to be a part of this work. And we're about to appoint deacons, but we must remember through all of this, we've got to be submissive to the leadership of this church. And I must say, being submissive for a young person, it's kind of hard, especially when your parents give you a decision and you're not always crazy about it. That's something that young people struggle with. I heard someone define adolescence as having a little knowledge while believing you know everything. That's a young person. That's your average young person. And that's how we feel sometimes. I think we all must admit to feeling guilty of that. Let me see a show of hands. Who here thought they knew the answer to something and later found out they were wrong? Yeah. That's every one of us. And because of that, there is a struggle to recognize the wisdom of older people, especially the elders. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 29. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 29. Proverbs chapter 20 verse 29 says, "The glory of young men is their strength, but the splendor of old men is their gray hair." So you're telling me my Bible tells me that the greatest asset of those who are older is their gray hair? That's not what that's saying. That's saying it's talking about their wisdom, their life experience. They've been there. They've done that. They know how to get through struggles. And we need to be treasuring that wisdom of those who are older than we are. We're commanded to obey the elders and to submit them. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17. That's not an option. That's not conditional on your agreement with them. You may sometimes disagree with the decision they have. You may sometimes not be 100% for a choice that they've made. But you still must submit to them if they're your shepherd. But does that mean you don't have a voice? Does that mean that you can't you can't come up to them and voice a concern that you might have? Absolutely not. But if you do that, you've got to do that in a respectful way. Because sometimes we can come across as that attitude of knowing everything. And young people, we need to be watchful for that. But after everything has been said, we must remember that the elders and the leadership of this church, they have the final say. So if we voice our opinion and it doesn't and it's heard, but it's not, you know, our opinion is not put into a decision, well, that's their decision. It's not yours. So if we want to solve this Church of Tomorrow concept, we've got to be submissive to the leadership. Third, we must be an example. And I think the very familiar passage that comes to mind is 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12. It says, "Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity." Paul is very clear about his expectations of Timothy as a younger man. He says, be the example that you're supposed to be. Live the way you're supposed to live. Talk the way you're supposed to talk. Treat others the way that you would like to be treated. And your actions, all of that matters. All of that goes into your example because, if you haven't noticed this, others are looking at you. And that's very obvious. Older members are checking you out to see if you're real. And especially those younger kids. Those younger kids, the more, you know, each day that I live, I learn more and more that kids are looking up to you. Whether you're a young person or an older person, they're looking up to you. 2 years ago, at the Florida College camp, Camp Tennessee, there was this little boy in our team, and his name happened to be Luke as well. And he was a Group 1 camper, and just like every other Group 1 camper, they had the same look on their face. It's the look of total loss, just being lost. They don't know where they are. They don't know what's going on. It's just a deer in the headlight look. They don't know if they should be excited. They don't know if they should cry because their parents just left. They are just totally lost. So I looked over at this little kid, and he had the classic Group 1 face on. So I went over to him and just talked with him and, you know, kind of explained to him what we were doing for that night. You know, nothing big. I just went up and said hello and just explained some things to him about how the camp worked. Boy, I guess I made an impact because there wasn't probably about an hour that went by that I didn't hear a little voice go, "Hey, Luke." And sure enough, there he was every hour of the day. He sat with me, I think, at every meal. But hopefully I made a good impact on him. And at the end of that week, his parents came up to me and said, "Oh, you must be Luke." It's like, how'd you know about me? Well, and they told me, they said, "Well, our son wrote letters to us during the camp, during the week, and he wrote that you helped him out during camp." And I was just like, wow, I didn't realize kids looked up to you that much. This afternoon, I went over to the Nichols, and we had lunch with them, and Jackson and Mason went upstairs, and Jackson said, "Come on, we're going to have church upstairs." So I wasn't going to turn that down. So I went upstairs with them, and they had I recorded it, and they had a 9-minute worship service. Yeah, coming. He's raising his voice right. They had a 9-minute worship service. Jackson led the singing. Mason led a song. I didn't know a word he said, but he led it, and he was so proud of himself. And then came time for the Lord's Supper. So they didn't have trays, so they got their baseball caps. They flipped them over. Of course, I'm the only one there, so they're both running up to me, wanting to be the first one to partake of their hat. So I acted like I took something from it, and then Mason went back to the little table they set up and put his hat down, and Jackson looked. He looked out and said, "Is there anyone we missed?" What that taught me is that kids look up to you more than you realize. Kids look up to you. That means that you better be the person that you're supposed to be. Number 4, make it a priority to be with other Christians. Our closest companions on this earth should be the people who share the same faith we do. It always concerns me when I see people of any age who are closer to non-Christians than Christians. Because it will usually end up affecting the kind of person they become. And Scripture warns us about this influence that our friends have on us. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 33. Bad company corrupts good morals. It's a verse we're very familiar with. Because if you associate with bad company, your morals will eventually be compromised. Being a part of the church of today means that you have a relationship with the Christians that make up that church. You spend time with them. You associate with them. You get together with them outside of the assembly. Young people, if you want to be a part of the church of today, then do it. Make it a priority to be with other Christians. But understand how the impact of the relationships that you have with people outside of the church, understand that impact on you. It will be huge. If you spend more time with non-Christians than Christians, your morals will be compromised. So let's make sure that we are making it a priority to be with other Christians. Number 5. Embrace your role as a young person and develop yourself for future roles. Sometimes young people, we get discouraged because we aren't given the opportunities to do the things that we want. We see certain roles that they want to fill. For example, a young person might want to be active in teaching in Bible class. They want to teach or assist, and they want to do that all the time. Understand, I'm all for a young person helping out in a Bible class from time to time. But the reality is this, that as young people, they need to be the ones in the classroom. Because that's exactly what they are. They're young people. They are young. They probably haven't been a Christian very long, so they need to be the ones in the classroom developing spiritually. Turn to Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12. The Hebrew writer stated some things that sometimes people need the basic principles before they need to be teaching. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12 says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food." Simply put, sometimes we need to be a student longer before we can take on the role of a teacher. But no matter the situation you're in, no matter if you're a young person, if you're in your 20s, if you're a deacon, if you're an elder, if you're one of the preachers, no matter the situation that you're in, Paul says in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4, he says that we need to be content. We need to be content with whatever place we are in God's church. And a lot of times, we apply that verse to our financial needs, to things we need in our lives. But I think there's more to contentment than just that. Because as a young person, you need to find contentment in the role that you have in His church. And you need to be satisfied with what you can do right now. And you need to work on growing spiritually so that you can develop yourself for the future roles that you aspire to have one day. The church will need you to fill many roles in the future. More roles than we can even imagine right now. So let's be patient and content with where we are in His church. And number 6, finally, we need to be an active presence in the work of the church. We need to have an active presence in the work of the church. Don't sit on the back row and just coast through. I did that Bible class at the adult Bible class at Franklin a couple of weeks ago, and I mentioned something about how people sometimes just come in and sit on the back row and, you know, don't get involved in the worship. And this little, 99-year-old lady came up to me and said, "I just want you to know that I sit on the back row, but I'm involved in worship." And I said, I'm not talking about you. If the back row is as far as you can make it, then that's fine. But sometimes it's easy to come in right when services start, find that empty spot on the back row, just slide in, and as soon as amen is said, you're gone. And sometimes, young people, it's very easy to do that and just to coast through. And it's easy to get lost in the crowd and just try to get by. Young people, myself included, can be very guilty of that in school, just trying to get by. Because I think sometimes we can treat church like school. The biggest complaint that I hear in high school, and I'm sure I might hear it in college, is that we'll never use this again. Because when I took statistics in pre-cal, I heard, we will never use this again. This is the last time I'll ever have to do it. Why am I doing this? This is ridiculous. This is pointless. I'll never use this again. But let me tell you, what you learn in these classes, what you learn in these Bible classes, you will always use again. You will always use the thing you learn at the Bible classes at church. Don't come to these classes with the same attitude you come to classes in school. Don't try to just get by. Give everything you got in your Bible classes. And sometimes in high school, students are handed a diploma even though they just did the bare minimum. Even though they just barely squeaked by, they're still handed a diploma. But is God looking for Christians, for bare minimum Christians, Christians and young people who just want to squeak by, who just want to do enough to get in heaven? He's not looking for those kind of people. He's looking for total commitment Christians. He's looking for young people who will say, here am I, send me, just like Isaiah did in Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 8. And don't be a pew potato. Don't be a pew potato. A couch potato is somebody who just sits on the couch, eats potato chips, and watches TV all day. A pew potato is somebody who just comes in, mouths the words to the hymns, says amen to the prayers, and then just leaves. That's a pew potato. Don't be a pew potato. Be an active presence in the work of the church. Get up and do something. It's always amazing to hear the things that people say, but then to watch how they act. It doesn't always add up. I heard a young person complaining because he didn't feel like he was a part of the church. He didn't feel like he fit in. He didn't feel like he was wanted at the church. And so I asked him a couple of questions, and his answers, you know, I asked him, I said, do you come on time for Bible study? No. And I said, you know, do you participate in the service? He said, well, they asked me to, but I never show up for it. Well, yeah, you're not a part of the church if that's how you respond to that. No wonder you don't feel a part. It's because you're not acting. You're not being a part of the church. You're not willing to put yourself forward and have the responsibility to participate in worship. If you want to be active in church, then be active in church. If you want to be involved, then get involved. If you want to be a part of the church of right now, then be the church of right now. Get involved. Participate in assemblies, because the more you put into the worship and the church, the more you will get in return. But those things are obvious. Doing those things are obvious. We need to make sure we're doing the small things, like showing up early, helping to greet the visitors and the guests, talking to the members, participating in class, making sure you are serving, and again, making sure you are being active. And when you do that, when you do these things, people will see you as the church of tomorrow. Because in reality, you are the church of right now. Whether you want to be or not, God's looking at us and He's saying, we need you. We need the young people. We need the young people to step up. We need the young people to be active in this church of right now. Because, listen to this, if you don't embrace your role as part of the church of right now, there won't be a church of tomorrow. If you don't embrace your role in the church of right now, there won't be a church of tomorrow. So young people, let's make sure that we are being the church of right now, that we're being active, that we're doing all the things that we can to grow. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this great day that you've blessed us with. We thank you for the young people here who have decided to come out and to listen to these things and to sing the praises unto you. And Lord, we just ask for your wisdom as we go throughout different chapters of our lives. But Lord, help us to be total commitment Christians. Help us to be young people who are totally committed to you. Help us to be the church that you want us to be, and help us to be the church of right now. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.